Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the end of time. The Firehouse Follies Winter Variety Radio Show is on the air! That's right, we're coming to you live from the Ivy Tech John Waldron Auditorium. Today's show features guitarist and songwriter phenom Michael Kelsey from Lafayette, Indiana. And we've got the world-famous Gospel Girls with us today. The hard-working Firehouse Rounders. There'll be our Arbutus Cunningham herself with us. There come the Gospel Girls, yeah! And the Unusual Suspects radio acting troupe. And with the award-winning Mr. Tony Brewer on the sound effects. Stand up, Tony. Yeah. And our show today is sponsored by Farm Bloomington, Ivy Tech Community College, and Inari Publishing, a new Bloomington publishing house. I'm Richard Fish, and I am pleased, very pleased, to introduce right now the Gospel Girls and the Firehouse Rounders.
Walk on, 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 walk on. I'm gonna keep on walking till I find my way back home. You know my mind gets worried when my shoes get thin. I don't know. But I know where I've been, and I'll walk on,
walk on,
walk on,
walk on.
I'll walk on,
walk on,
walk on,
walk on.
I got to keep on walking till I find my way back
on.
Walk on,
walk on,
walk on,
walk on,
Thank you.
The Gospel Girls and the Firehouse Rounders, ladies and gentlemen. And now, speaking of walk-ons, here is your host for the afternoon, Colonel Mike Kelsey.
It's true I'm a walk-on, but they said if I do good, I can get a scholarship. So, thanks for coming out. We really have a really, really big show for you tonight, and it's really big. Provided, of course, that the world does not end before the show is finished.
Colonel Kelsey, I couldn't help but notice that we have a performer on the show tonight named Michael Kelsey. I hope he's not related to you. I wouldn't want to be a party to violating WFHB's nepotism regulations.
Well, Rich, I don't see him here, but I hopefully Chad's not here. We have broken almost all the other WFHB regulations by now. Yeah, you remember that time? No, I guess I don't.
Not on air.
I don't know if we're breaking any rules here or not. Michael Kelsey is not related to me technically, but in some ways you could maybe perhaps say that probably perhaps he is a relation.
Wait a minute. Either he is or either he isn't. It's got to be one or the other.
It's sort of a complicated story, Richard.
Why am I not surprised to hear that? Well, by all means, go ahead and tell us about it.
I thought you'd never ask.
I'm hearing the script.
Once upon a time, long ago, way back before my radio days, this was.
Back before radio was invented, probably.
If you want to hear this story, Richard, you're going to have to refrain from interruptions.
I didn't say I wanted to hear it. I just said you could tell it.
Now, where was I here? Okay, yes. Before my radio career got started, I was living in an isolated cabin on an island off the coast of Montana. When one afternoon I fancied I heard a scratching at the door. I opened the door and looked around, but there was no one there. So I went back to my copy of How to Make a Fortune with Nothing But Your Teeth. And there it came again. Then the scratching started to get more rhythmic than it had been before. Well, of course, I went to the door and I looked around and I didn't see a thing, so I took a step outside and there was this tiny little voice.
Down here. And watch where you're stepping with those big shoes, you clod.
I was shocked. I looked down, but the only thing I could see was a tiny snail by my foot. Then, plain as anything, that snail talked to me, Richard.
What's the matter? You never seen a snail before?
Not one that talks. Damn. What was I smoking last night?
Well, whatever it was, it's got nothing to do with me. Let me in. There's been a big bird after me ever since the election. Protect me and feed me and I'll do chores for you.
Needless to say, I wasn't sure a snail really could do chores.
Needless indeed.
But I let the snail in and darned if he wasn't really good. He fixed espresso for me. It's a little too weak. And he split my firewood. So I named him Oscar. And one day when I came home, Oscar was tuning my old guitar. Then Oscar got it in tune and he took to playing the guitar around the fire at night. Well, we had a fine old time living like that for a couple of years. Then one day, Oscar got into some of Gertie's stink bait from Fiddle and Joe Enterprises, of course.
Of course.
And darned if he didn't really like that stuff. And after a couple of weeks of eating that stink bait, Oscar started to grow.
Yeah.
And grow.
Yeah.
Before I knew it, Oscar wasn't a snail anymore. He turned into a young lad of about 19.
Daddy.
The next thing I knew, he picked up the guitar and started playing. And I could see right off this wasn't your ordinary snail-turned-boy sort of thing. It was also clear that the name Oscar, or Escar, just wasn't right anymore. So I bestowed on him the only thing I had of any worth, which was my name. And he's treated it well over the years. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Kelsey.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Wanna live a real thing, I wanna know we're on the same side. Never wanna talk about it, baby. Laugh it off, doubt it, say maybe. Maybe it's my imagination that's running wild. Oh, but Sarah, I'm so serious. I'm so tired. This house feels more like your place, baby. like I've been living out of a suitcase. I tell you I've had it, you say I'm crazy. Oh, when there's a new sun coming around to kiss the sky, you'll be waking to a letter telling you why. Why I can't live this way, my Sarah, so serious. I'm so tired. Oh, and every time I feel I'm getting through to you, I realize I only amuse you. Rolling like a rerun show, the dishes getting dirty and the TV closing. I still don't know just where we go, and or it's dancing around my heart, playful as a child. Oh, now, babe, you know I love to see you smile. But now, Sarah, I'm so serious, I'm so tired. Love playing a guitar and, you know, just finding some sounds. And it's my mother that got me started playing the guitar. She knew the three magic chords of playing guitar. That would be the G, C, and D. She always liked her country music and her Johnny Cash, so she'd always be playing for me. Johnny Cash and all those happy songs, you know, and every time I'd name a song, she'd always be able to play with that G, C, and that D, and it took me a while to realize that there were a few more chords out there. So I kept learning some chords and a few more noises, and then all of a sudden I realized the more I was playing, the less and less she was playing. She doesn't want to jam with her baby boy anymore. I don't know what the deal is, but I got that G, C, and the D, and the bouncy little beat, and occasional radio audience yeehaw. Go. Oh, you know, I remember when I was just about 10. Mama playing that guitar, having such a ball, strumming real proud, singing out loud like our kitchen was a concert hall. My eyes were wide, my face had a smile. On the edge of my seat, I sat, saying, Mama, Mama, please, I'd do anything if you could just show me how to play like that. Cause Mama was always quick to strum me a tune, like I said. She could surely play any song I'd name with the only three chords she knew. But when I go back home, I see that case in the same old place every time. Mama don't play much anymore, and I don't know why. Here's where that yeehaw goes. So I learned that G, C, and D, because that's all you really need to play in a country song, right? And I was bound to pick that Johnny Cash lick if it took me all my life. Mama said, son, let me show you how to sing the guitar out of my reach. With a grin on her face as if to say, you know, Johnny Cash ain't got nothing on me. Now check me out, boy. Oh, there she goes, showing off on that Johnny Cash. Cause Mama was always quick to strum me a tune. Yeah, 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 she could tell to play any song I'd name with the only three chords she knew. But when I go back home, I see that case in the same old place every time. Mama don't play much anymore, and I don't know why. So me and my calluses grew. Next thing I knew, I was playing everything out here. Mama didn't mind because it made good time those adolescent years. So I locked myself away in my bedroom to play, and I was playing, and I was playing, and I was playing still. Playing, 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 I was still. Until one day I just had to say, Mama, come check me out. And I played something like, kind of like,
gonna say, oh, no, no, some line. Some line. Some line. No, some line. Something like that. So I said, okay, now I'll begin, then you can jump in. And I counted out 2, 3, 4. She declined, just rolled her eyes, said, I don't think I wanna play no more. Cause mama was always quick to strum me a tune, yes she was. She could tell to play in a song I'd name with the only 3 chords she knew. But when I go back home, I see that case in the same old blades every time. Mama don't play much anymore, and I don't know why. Mama don't play much anymore. Mama don't play much anymore. Mama don't play much anymore, and I don't know why.
For the benefit of our radio audience, I want to testify that that man only has 2 hands and 1 guitar. Wow.
And I'm not sure whether his right hand knows what his left hand is doing. But
or could follow it if it did.
And he can keep the name. He's doing real well with it. So are we violating any nepotism regulations here then?
Well, Mike, I think all we're violating here is credibility. That doesn't bother me if it doesn't bother you.
I think it's time to push on, Richard.
All right. Started when the Bloomington Herald cell phone's ace reporter, Leonard Michaels, was summoned to the mayor's office for an emergency meeting.
Hey, sorry I'm late. I drove all over town looking for a parking space, and when I finally found one, the automated parking fee collection machine wasn't working, so I had to drive around until I finally found a space in Ellettsville. Where's the mayor?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Michaels. He can't make it. He just called in and said he couldn't find a parking place either. Actually, he hasn't been to work at all since the city council put a meter at his parking spot. But I am authorized to tell you everything we know about the situation. First, I'd like to introduce you to Ms. Sleuth, the city's chief security administrator.
I'm a sleuth. Pleased to meet you.
Well, I'm a reporter. How long has the city had a chief security administrator, anyway?
Just call me Ima, Mr. Reporter. I've been on the job for a very long time, but you're the first person outside of the mayor's immediate circle to know of my existence.
Then why doesn't your department show up in the city budget?
I'm paid out of the mayor's makeup and cosmetics allowance.
I always wondered why they needed 7 digits in that account.
I hope I don't need to tell you that all of this is very hush-hush and on the down low, need-to-know basis only. If you write or say one word about me or my staff, you will disappear for a very long time, Mr. Reporter. A very long time.
Even longer than I've been working for the Herald cell phone?
That would be cruel and unusual, but almost that long.
Ouch. All right, I'll keep quiet. What's the scoop?
We have reason to believe that the entire city of Bloomington could soon be wiped off the map. We're appealing to your sense of Bloomington patriotism to prevent this from happening.
Well, you know me. Anything I can do to keep the city around, if not the old Herald cell phone. But isn't this all a little bit melodramatic?
Hardly. I have here in my hand a note from a deranged person calling himself Al Chaos, time terrorist. Read it. Make no mistake, Mr. Reporter. This man is cunning. And he's a linguist to boot.
I'm not touching that one. But I will take a look at the note. I have the old man. If all my demands are not met, Bloomington shall meet the fate foretold in the book. Foretold book? What does that mean?
Mr. Reporter, can I call you Ima?
Leonard's fine. Or USA Today, that's my middle name, at least today.
Very well, Leonard USA Today. We're about to acquaint you with the best-kept secret in the history of Bloomington.
You mean the real reason why Bob Knight left town?
Oh, I know the reason he left, and believe me, some things are best left unknown. But I digress. Allow me to introduce Dr. Simon Essengruber, the head of Indiana University's local archaeology department.
Local archaeology department?
That's right. Yeah. We dig up the dirt on the local politicians. It only takes a toothbrush. Mr. Michaels, you are familiar with the Bloomington bicycle trails?
Of course.
Then you will know that the trails were made on property once owned by the Monon Railroad Line.
Well, that's not exactly a secret.
No.
In fact, I think there's a song about that line.
Mama's at that depot. Daddy's at the railroad track. I said that. Mama, she's at that depot. That's right. Daddy's at the railroad track. They're gonna blow. You know now, she walked to the window, wearing a smile. She said, "Punch my ticket, let me ride for a while. Hey, tell that old engineer."
Not to rain, rolling away.
Yeah, that's very interesting, I'm sure. And it sounds much better than the Monon Railroad Act itself ever actually did. But the secret, Mr. Michaels, is that before the trails were put in place, the EPA required us to conduct archaeological digs on site to be sure that the area was safe for bicycles and dogs. And we found something, Mr. Michaels, something we have kept secret from everyone except the Indiana Daily Student, but their article about it was so confusing that it remains a secret to this day.
Now this is starting to get interesting. What exactly did you find?
Well, not under the tracks themselves, mind you, but a bit off to the side, we found a manuscript. Actually, two manuscripts, apparently from the early 20th century. We believe them to have been thrown off, perhaps accidentally, perhaps on purpose, who knows, from one of the trains that passed through here. And this is the larger of the two.
Wow, that's one large manuscript. What's it called?
It is called The Book of Monon. It contains all the wisdom available about the area around the railroad tracks. And its companion is called The Monon Appendix. It's sort of a caboose. Its function is to explain the material in the book. Now, the esoteric value of these volumes is immense, Mr. Michaels. They were written by a functionally illiterate hobo named Samuel Smith. And they transmit the knowledge that he was granted when he had imbibed a little too much ripple, as he did from time to time.
Now that's a loco motive to write a book. Hey, if this guy was so illiterate, how was he able to write a book? And such a large book.
Well, that's the mystery. But write it he did. And we have spent several years deciphering it, Mr. Michaels. Now I direct your attention to page 738. 738, where we find these prophetic words. Now, I shall read from the translation rather than the original Hoosieries, which is a little hard to understand. And it shall come to pass that the area known as Bloomington shall come to be known as the People's Republic of Bloomington, and it shall come to pass that it will be a prosperous and gentrified community, and that life in this community shall be good. But verily, it shall come to pass that as life becomes good for the gentry of the city, the local residents of the area shall be sore oppressed, and that one day all of these residents shall have been driven from or left the city on their own volition, and that when the last of the original natives has self-deported from the city, there shall arise a great whirlwind of ordinances, zoning regulations, taxes, urban chickens, and things too strange to foretell. And at that point in time, the city shall disappear from the face of the earth, never to be heard of again. Indeed, it shall be the end of the world as we know it.
And the old man that Al Chaos says he's holding?
Ha-ha, that's right, Mr. Michaels. The last surviving native of Monroe County. If he were to leave the county, it would be the end of the world as we know it.
Speed front nose drink. Loud start to clatter with a fear fight down. Hide wire in a fire weapon 7 days with the gun higher in a combat sight. Left to west coming in a hurry with the furious beating down your neck. Team by team reporters baffle Trump tethered crop. Look at that low playing fine then. Uh-oh, overflow population coming through, but it'll do. Save yourself, serve yourself, world serve its own needs. Listen to your heartbeat, coming with the rapture and the reverend in the right, right. Vitriotic, patriotic, slam fight bright like feeling pretty sight. End of the world as we know it.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine. 4 o'clock, maybe 5, you'll knock out of here alive. The old man can't get himself another plan. Bicycle trails gone, chicken on the funnel run. Beat yourself down the tube, self-righteous boob. Enter saving bulbs, watch out for flub. Step down, crush the twiggies, uh-oh. Says dine the beer, how queer. Republicans drawing near. A big book of lies. Offers means of solutions. Offer me alternatives, I decline. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine. I feel fine.
And now, through the magic of radio sound effects, we join Mr. Al Chaos, the time terrorist, in his slightly shabby but carefully restored bungalow on the near west side. Tony, I'm home!
Evil master, welcome back. Did you have a nice day at the office?
You mean in my guise as Dr. Simon Essengruber, space archaeologist? Pulling the wool over the eyes of the city administration is like taking milk from a baby. They think I'm here to help them.
the wool-learned boss, I didn't know we had any sheep.
Ow! You cretin, that's merely a figure of speech. I mean that they believe I am a harmless archaeologist and have no idea that in reality I am Al Chaos, time terror.
Oh, will they be surprised? Boss, can I ask you a question?
I don't know. I guess you could try.
Oh, why don't sheep shrink when it rains?
I'm the boss here, Tony. That means I'm the only one allowed to tell bad jokes.
Thanks, boss. I needed that. But tell me, please, what plot are we working on this time? Is it to steal the giant brains? Or perhaps the one to steal the sweaters from all the trees? Ow!
This is a much better plot, you lame excuse for a toady. It will give us nothing less than complete control of the city and all its wealth.
Oh, toady loves control and wealth. Tell me about the plot, boss. Please.
Ow! Bumbling, incompetent moron, can't you remember anything? I've told you hundreds of times already.
Thanks, boss. You know Toady has short memory span. Once more, please, pretty please, with sugar on it?
Oh, very well. It is the holiday season, and it's a wonderful plot. But this time, try to remember. Take notes if you have to.
Where should I take them, oh evil one?
Just pay attention.
Thanks, boss.
Now I've sent the city a note telling them we have the old man. Did you grab him like I told you to?
Oh, yes. He's in the back room, boss. He complains so much. I want to hurt him. Can I hurt him? Just a little, please?
Ow! Idiot. It's imperative that we keep him healthy, at least for a while. Bring him to me.
All right. You can come out now. The benevolent boss wants to talk to you.
Well, it's about time. I'm getting to meet this mysterious boss of yours. I'm not just another old coot in overalls, you know. I'm personal friends with the mayor himself. I'm a very important person. Sir, I am Mr. Hiram Vinegar, and I demand Dr. Essengruber. What are you doing here? What is this? What with this waste of human skin here? What are you doing?
Yes, Hiram. I am the man you know as Simon Essengruber. But in reality, I am Al Chaos, time terrorist. And you are my prisoner.
Why am I your prisoner? And how do you terrorize time anyway? With your warped sense of humor? Oh! Thanks, boss. I needed that.
Yeah. Yeah, boss. Why is he our prisoner?
Because, you fool, he's the last remaining native of Monroe County in Bloomington.
Oh.
If he ever leaves, the city itself will disappear. The mayor can't afford that. He'd never win another election.
You don't actually believe that stuff in the Book of Monon, do you? Really? I mean, I forged the entire passage just so the mayor would have to take good care of me. That's why I'm living in that nice double wide, and I get to go out to all the fancy restaurants there on 4th Street all the time. But I miss Ladyman's.
Oh, me too.
I'm well aware that you forged that passage, Mr. Vinegar. You don't think I would do anything to put my own existence in jeopardy, do you? But the point is, the mayor doesn't know that. And he's a Democrat in a one-party town, so he'll believe anything you tell him. He wants you here. You want your life of comparative luxury. And I want all the parking revenues.
Oh, demented boss. What a wonderful plan. Toddy gets excited just thinking about it.
Meanwhile, in a different part of the city, an eerily similar scene is being played out.
Toadette, I'm home.
Welcome back, mistress. Did you have a nice day at the office?
You mean in my guise as I'm a sleuth, head of the city security division? Of course I did. The city has no idea that in reality, I am... Virginia Monologue. My name itself brings terror to the hearts of men. Little do they know that soon I will have control over this entire realm and will remake it to suit myself.
Oh, that sounds so good, mistress. Real good. And how will you achieve this most magnificent goal?
You cretin! I told you my plans hundreds of times. Do you ever listen to what I say?
Yes, I do, but... Toadette listens, but doesn't always fully comprehend the genius that is you, madam. Please tell me again. Are we going to bring back Mayor Allison?
No. That old gray mayor ain't what she used to be. However, it is a good plan, but it's a little complicated and cannot be easily comprehended by lesser intellects such as you. Or by males who can't conceive anything.
Oh, thank you, mistress. Thank you.
Listen carefully.
Okay.
In a nutshell, Toadette.
But how large a nut, mistress? I mean, if it's a really large one, I might not be able to understand.
Cretinous idiot. That's just a figure of speech.
Oh, I get it. Thank you, mistress. Thank you.
In a nutshell, the mayor believes that if Hiram Vinegar were to leave Monroe County, the city of Bloomington would cease to exist.
Oh.
Al Chaos, who thinks he's so clever posing as Simon Essengruber, believes that Hiram has forged the passage in the Book of Monon that foretells the city's disappearance, and thinks he can extort money from the city by kidnapping the old man. But I, Toadette, I know that prophecy is true, because the Monon Appendix clearly states that the city will be recycled when the last native Monroe Countian is gone. Art is imitating life, which itself is imitating art. Soon we shall have everyone so confused that no one will have the slightest idea of what's going on.
I'm confused already, mistress. I mean, I know art, and he never imitates anybody. If the city disappears, now what's going to become the two of us? How will we profit from this?
Don't interrupt. I have written all this down on styrofoam,
Oh, mistress, styrofoam is bad for the environment.
I said don't interrupt. It's on styrofoam because styrofoam can't be recycled and will remain intact after the great disappearance. So I can remember everything. I've also designed special magic underwear for us so that we won't be recycled.
Thank you, mistress. And what will we do once the city has disappeared?
We, my dear Toadette, will claim the land on which the city stood and then build a gigantic factory to manufacture Twinkies, Wonder Bread, and other nutrition-free goodies. And we can get lots of cheap labor by using I-69. It can't miss. We'll be rich, I tell you. Rich!
Oh, mistress, Toadette loves Twinkies.
They'll kill you, you fool. They last longer than styrofoam. But now we must be off. I've arranged for a meeting with Al Chaos at the club called The End of Time. And once there, we will find out where he's got the old man stashed. You'll slip out and take him to Martinsville, where he'll blend in with the native scenery. And Bloomington shall be mine. I've waited years for this.
Oh, it sounds like such fun, mistress. Let's go.
Come, Toadette. We must hurry.
Oh, yeah.
We will rejoin these folks at the end of time shortly, ladies and gentlemen. But first, let's hear from the WFHB Gospel Girls.
I have nothing but sorrow since you said we were through. There's no hope for tomorrow. How's the world treating you? Every sweet thing that matters has been broken in two. All my dreams have been shattered. How's the world treating you? Got no plans for next Sunday. Got no plans for today. Every day. Okay. Now, I know there's somebody here over 25 in the audience. And if you are out there, you might remember this little tune. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby, do the locomotion. I know you get to like it if you give it a chance now. Come on, baby, do the locomotion. My little baby sister can do it with ease. It's easier than learning your ABCs. So come on, come on, do the locomotion with me. You got to swing your hips now, baby. Come on, baby. Well, jump up, jump back. Oh, well, I think you got the knack. Whoa, whoa, now that you can do it, let's make a chain now. Come on, baby, do the locomotion. Chug a motion like the railroad train now. Come on, baby, do the locomotion. Nice and easy now, don't lose control. A little bit of rhythm and a lot of soul. So come on, come on, do the locomotion with me. Ooh, come on, baby. You're looking good. Well, I think you've got the knack. Whoa, whoa, move around the floor in a locomotion. Come on, baby, do the locomotion. There's never been a dance so easy to do. It even makes you happy when you're feeling blue. So come on, come on, do the locomotion with me.
Come on.
Locomotion with me. Thank you so.
The Gospel Girls, ladies and gentlemen, they will be back later in the show. But it's time, right now, for a new adventure series to be aired on WFHB. I Led Three Lives in Bloomington.
In Bloomington. These are the hitherto unheralded stories from the life of Bloomington resident Philbert Herbrick. By day, he was a mild-mannered, affable, liberal sort of guy who worked at a high-tech startup business in Bloomington. But by night, unknown to his wife and friends, he functioned as a member of a secret Republican sleeper cell in Bloomington. And unknown to his Republican friends and allies, he also functioned under the code name T-Strainer, as an undercover informant to the PC police in Bloomington in their never-ending quest to keep Bloomington a one-party town. His contact was Sergeant Sam Saturday, recently transferred in from the Grammar Police. Today's episode, Moose Dressing.
It was a typical day in my life as Facebook makeup artist, where I was an assistant to the associate head programmer for commercial applications. I was in the break room, getting an espresso.
Hey, Phil. Looks like we're all out of Twinkies. How do they expect us to function without Twinkies and Ho-Hos?
You're right, Zach. I think I heard the Twinkies factory had gone out of business or something.
How can that be? My life is meaningless without my ding-dongs.
Your life is meaningless with your ding-dongs. But relax, Zach. I'll check it out.
You're a prince, Phil. I don't know what we'd do without you.
It was a text from the cell. They were uncomfortable with texting, and so seldom tried. And I knew it must be important, so I checked. An emergency meeting had been called for that night. I had to call my wife. Jane, I'm sorry, but the boss has called a meeting for tonight, and I'm going to have to stay late.
Oh, but you'll miss little Shannon's soccer game. Why do you always have to stay for these meetings, Phil? You'd think they couldn't run that office without you.
Oh, sorry, but if I want to get promoted so we can finally move to Prospect Hill, it's just something I have to do. Is Shannon there? Put her on the phone.
She's going to be very disappointed. Oh, Shannon, please come to the phone and talk to your father. Daddy, Daddy, you are coming to the game tonight, aren't you? We're playing a team from North Carolina, and we're going to kick their butts.
Oh, sorry, Shannon. Danny has a meeting to go tonight. I'm afraid I won't be there.
But, Daddy, you never come to my games. The other kids are starting to ask why you're never there.
Once again, I was caught in the trap of doing something I hated to protect those I loved. How long could I keep this life of deception going? It was starting to make me miserable.
Yeah, who is it?
Herbrick.
Password.
No new taxes.
Yeah, come on in, Phil. Can't be too careful, you know. Word is that some of our cells have been infiltrated.
Oh, that's impossible, Johnny. We're way too smart for that. But what is going on? Why the emergency meeting?
Hey, it's really exciting. We've got a visitor from headquarters.
Really? From Martinsville? Who?
No, no, not Martinsville. Even higher. You'll never believe it. But come on in. It's time for the group prayer.
We are the 53%, and we won't change, even if they say we have to. You betcha!
I'll rise for the minority leader.
Thanks for coming out tonight, folks. But before we get started, I noticed that a couple of you don't have cigarettes. Now, go ahead and light up. We're not going to let the Dems keep us from following the time-honored tradition of choosing America's leaders in a smoke-filled room. We've got a special surprise for you in a minute. But first, some old business. You know that they're talking about making all of the parking spots downtown into paid parking?
Never! Over my cold dead car!
That's taxation without representation!
Yeah, there hasn't been a Republican on the ballot here in years. They think that just because we're not on the ballot, we don't live here?
Let's dump tea all over City Hall!
Hey! You're right, it's time for action. We're especially lucky today because Central Headquarters is not only endorsing direct action, they've sent one of their best people here to Bloomington to run training sessions for us. Folks, from the great state of Alaska, it's Sarah Whalen.
Oh, my fellow Republicans. Aren't you waiting for the day when you can say that in public? Right here in Bloomington. I'm Sarah Whalen, and I can field dress a moose. I could see the Soviet Union from my back porch. And I know hanky-panky when I see it. By the time I'm finished training you, you'll be field-dressing Democrats. It's time for action!
This sounded serious. Up until now, I had sometimes wondered why the city wanted an informant in the GOP camp. Most of them, it seemed like decent, honorable folks. Even if I found their political ideas a bit bizarre, I sometimes wondered why it was necessary to keep them off the ballot. But when I looked around and saw these normally friendly people with crazed looks in their eyes, shouting slogans and frothing at the mouth, really it hit me. This wasn't the Bloomington I knew. Outside agitators were turning neighbor against neighbor. I had to call Saturday. I made my excuses and left the meeting.
Corps. Lieutenant Wednesday speaking.
I have to speak with Saturday. Is he there on Thursdays?
Let me call his girl Friday. He's out with his girlfriend Tuesday Weld. They went to get Sundays. Said he'd be back by Monday, so he should be here by now. Who should I say is calling?
Tell him it's the tea strainer, priority one.
Right.
Extremely.
Saturday here. You have something to report?
Yeah, Sarah Whalen's here, in Bloomington. She's supposed to train the cell members in direct action tactics.
Uh-huh.
They have a session scheduled on voter registration tomorrow at 1 p.m. in that little motel just south of town.
I see.
You have to stop her Saturday.
Uh-huh.
This could get ugly.
Uh-huh.
They're talking about getting Republicans back on the ballot in Bloomington.
All right. We'll take care of it. Just be sure to be there yourself so they won't suspect it was you who turned them in. And Herbrick?
Yes?
You did good. I know this has been tough on you and your family, but you're helping preserve the status quo in Bloomington in ways that no one will ever understand. You're keeping the city safe for Democrats. We value that, Herbrick.
So the PC squad raided the meeting on voter registration and took Sarah Whalen and a couple of the local leaders into custody.
Oh, but I'm Sarah Whalen. You can't arrest me. I can field dress a moose with a can opener. We'll never quit. Never!
And I went home where we watched the whole thing on television.
And as she was being led away, Ms. Whalen continued to hurl defiant words at the authorities.
Oh, I can field dress a moose with a corkscrew while giving birth. Just ask my daughter.
In other news, the mayor announced today that urban chickens will be given complete access to the Beeline Trail, and...
I had no idea there were Republicans in this city. I thought we were safe here. We're so fortunate that the police found out and stopped it. But, Phil, you missed Shannon's pianos recital today. Where on earth were you?
Busy at the office, dear.
Darling, you have to be more involved in our family affairs. It's so important for Shannon and I, and especially at her age. However, I will sleep better tonight knowing that nasty Republican plot has been stopped, and Bloomington can remain a pristine one-party town. Who do you suppose the heroes are who put them into that nasty business? I wish I could personally thank them.
Yeah. Join us next week when you will hear this heart-wrenching
exchange. Daddy, please come to our kickboxing match. We're playing a team from Kentucky, and we're going to kick their butts.
I'm so sorry, Shannon. Daddy has another meeting tonight.
Oh, Phil.
I'd like to introduce our world-famous sound effects guru here, Mr. Tony Brewer. Tony was well-known in the relatively small radio sound effects people's community before we started doing these shows, primarily for his signature effect, the sound of Bobo the Clown leaping into a Volkswagen with about 40 other clowns, then starting the car, and running into a herd of zebras, and all the other clowns piling out before the car exploded. People love that sound effect.
Mm-hmm. Me especially.
But it wasn't until after he began to appear on the Firehouse Follies that his name became a household word, and the Groupies for Tony Society was founded.
Oh, Tony!
Hi. Hello.
Oh, Tony, can you please sign these for me?
Oh, sure. Oh, what cute little puppies. Just let me get the sweater out of the way.
Then he became a Kentucky colonel. And while he did get a bit swell-headed about being a Kentucky colonel, he's used this newfound fame to work for decency and radio sound effects. For example, one really popular sound effect, and this is all through the industry, features a doctor in the operating theater working on a seriously injured patient.
Beep.
Screwdriver.
Beep. Screwdriver, sir.
Nurse, can't you see this man is unconscious? We've got to get his briefcase open to remove his money before we remove all those other things. Make it a Phillips head.
Coming right up.
Anyway, this guy's on an IV drip, and the doctor is working on him when all of a sudden the operating room is invaded by a group of zombies. Zombies looking for lunch. They're hungry zombies. The doctor tries to keep them away from his patient.
Hey, get back, get back!
And fortunately, just about this time, a team of roller girls comes in to challenge the zombies.
Hey, hey!
The SWAT team comes in after that. And start setting off explosives. The floor is seriously blood splattered. But the roller girls and the SWAT guys win.
Ta-da!
And the operation is a success.
Yay! We win!
But the patient died.
I get a briefcase full of money.
But the patient died.
Beep.
Well, anyone can see. You can just tell this is way too violent for radio. Mm. So we would never dream of doing anything like that here at WFHB. Never in a million years.
No.
So Tony's been using his influence in the business to put an end to this type of sound effect. And also the one where the guy's eaten by sharks. And I think we all owe Tony Brewer a big round of thanks. So a big round of thanks for Tony Brewer. Talk to us after the show if you want to join the Groupies for Tony Society. We can set you up.
It is, however, 9 minutes after 5 p.m., and you're listening to WFHB Community Radio on the air at 91.3 and 98.1 FM from Bloomington, Indiana. Also heard at 106.3 out in Ellettsville and 100.7 FM out Nashville way. This is the Firehouse Follies Winter Variety Show Extravaganza, brought to you today by support from Farm Bloomington Restaurant and Bloomington publisher Inari Publishing. And now, here's the Firehouse Rounders waiting for the end of the world.
Let's stick it in this time. Now everyone was looking for a little entertainment, so they probably pull his hands off when they find out his name. Then they shut down the power all along the line. We got stuck in the tunnel where no light shined. Touched all the girls who were too scared to call out, and nobody was saying anything at all. We were waiting for the end of the world. Waiting for the end of the world. Waiting for the end of the world. Dear Lord, I sincerely hope you're coming, 'cause you really started something. Now things got back to normal as the train began to roll again. We got to the station about 20 minutes later. The legendary hitchhiker says now he knows where it's at. He'd like to go to Spain or maybe someplace like that, with his two-tone Bible and his funny cigarettes, suntan lotion and his castanets. He was waiting for the end of the world. Waiting for the end of the world. Waiting for the end of the world. Dear Lord, I sincerely hope you're coming, 'cause you really started something. And the bride and the groom, the congregation and the priest, all got in the train when they were three stations east, yeah. Hiding from a scandal in the national press, they've been trying to get married since they stole a wedding dress. Now You may see them drown as you stroll along the beach. Don't throw the lifeline till they're way out of reach. They were waiting for the end of the world. Waiting for the end of the world. Waiting for the end of the world. Waiting for the end of the world.
And now it's time to rejoin our cast of characters as they meet in Bloomington's most popular new night spot, the End of Time.
Time may go away, yes it may. Bloomington may not stay.
That's right.
And may be coming. Just you wait and see.
You'll come running back. You'll come running back.
They don't need to fear, baby.
There may not be any more me.
Ah, here we are. I've heard this is a really cool place.
Wow, look, there's no TVs, but there must be 100 clocks on the walls. And they're all set at different times.
Did the governor change the time again?
Oh, hey, what's that big, sticky, round, white thing over there?
Well, that's the Mayan Nays calendar.
Welcome to the End of Time. I'm Michael Kelsey. I'll be your server and entertainer today.
You're Michael Kelsey? Look, no disrespect intended, but I had always assumed that Michael Kelsey was a bit older than you and, frankly, not nearly as good looking.
Oh, you must mean the Michael Kelsey on the radio. People confuse us all the time, but I'm the real Michael Kelsey. The other one's just a radio hologram. Table for two?
Yes, please.
Bring a margarita, Michael. With a lot of salt and lime. Bring a margarita, Michael. Bring it to the end of time.
Whoops, order in. Just sit over there and I'll be right back to take your order. But first, the Gospel Girls would like to sing you a little song.
Why does the sun go on shining? Why does the sea rush to shore? Don't they know it's the end of the world? 'Cause you don't love me anymore. Why do the birds go on singing? Why do the stars glow above? Don't they know it's the end of the world? It ended when I lost your love. I wake up in the morning and I wonder why everything's the same as it was. Oh, I can't understand. No, I can't understand how life goes on the way it does. Why does my heart go on beating? Of mine cry. Don't they know it's the end of the world?
my heart. Go on beating. Why do my eyes still cry? Don't they know it's the end of the world? It ended when you said goodbye.
So I heard the strangest thing today. I can't talk about it yet, but I can say that if I play my cards right, this could be the big break I've been waiting for. A chance to blow this bird for the big time.
Oh, Leonard, do you mean?
Oh, that's right. USA Today. They'll have to take me if this works out. Ah, the small words, the one-sentence paragraphs, the pie charts. Pie.
Sorry to keep you waiting. Have you folks decided what you want yet?
What's this time burger thing?
That's Art Garfunkel's favorite. It's a hamburger with some parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme on your side. Fits the theme?
Yeah, and the general bad taste of your writers, too. I'll have one of those and a clock stopper martini.
Oh, and what's this daylight savings cocktail?
A couple of sips of that, and you won't know whether it's day or night.
I'll have one of those.
Bring a little burger, Michael. Make sure that it's sublime. Bring a big burger, Michael. We'll eat it at the end of time.
Gotta go. Another order.
Hey, before you go off, can you do me a little favor?
Anything for a paying customer.
Well, see that table over there with two men and two women sitting at it?
Yeah.
I need to hear what they're saying. Could you just put this handy-dandy little salt shaker microphone on the table?
Normally I wouldn't do something like that, but from the way you're holding that $50 bill, I'd say that if anything could move the plot of the story along and slow down the flow of bad jokes, it's good.
Well, who are those people?
Well, two of them work for the city. I don't know the other two. Let's listen in. I mean, if the government can do it, so can we. I just need to adjust this a little bit. Ah, here we are.
Miss Sleuth, I didn't expect to be seeing you here.
I'm sure you didn't, Professor Essengruber. Or should I say Al Chaos?
What? You know who I... You know who I am? Ah, then you must be...
That's right, Al. Virginia Monologue. Queen of the female terrorist whose very name strikes horror into the hearts of men everywhere.
I know. And this lady is...
This is only Toadette. She assists me from time to time.
Ah, like my Toady here, who assists me upon occasion.
Oh, Toady likes Toadette. She's so pretty.
Oh, Toady, you are one handsome hunk of a man.
Ow! Thanks, boss.
Focus, Toady, focus!
Oh, Toady thinks Toadette can make his miserable life happy and complete.
Oh, Toady is strangely attracted to Toadette and me to you. What does this mean, Toady?
I don't know. Toady not understand meanings. Toady only pawn in game of life.
Oh, that is so poetic.
Ow! Oh. Thanks, boss.
You idiots. Do you want Mel Brooks to sue us?
Now, what are you up to, Virginia? Stay out of my scheme to bilk the city of Bloomington out of millions just to keep one pathetic old man alive and living here? Go find your own game.
You always have been an egomaniacal fool, Chaos.
Well, I try. Thank you.
I know you believe that prophecy in the Book of Monon is a forgery, that in fact the whole book is probably a forgery, but I've got news for you. It's true, and if you're not careful, the city of Bloomington will disappear from the map forever. We must keep the old man safe. Where is he?
As if I'd tell you. And what makes you think that prophecy is true?
The Monon Appendix. I removed it recently. From the library, that is. It says quite clearly that if the last native of Monroe County ever leaves the city, Bloomington will be recycled.
Toadette, will you run away with Toadie? Toadie believes we can be happy together and slap each other for a change.
Oh, Toadie, I would do anything for you. Let's slip away.
Oh, please, leave on your slip until we're alone.
Wow, this story has everything. Love, betrayal, intrigue, danger, dueling toad slaps. This is my ticket to the big time. Hello, big time journalism. Goodbye, Hicks.
Oh, what's that? Oh, no. Look at this. Disaster.
What do you mean, disaster? Did a fat lady back into a...
Stop. Don't even go near that old joke. Hiram Vinegar has escaped. The mayor outfitted him with a GPS ankle bracelet, and I have an app on my smartphone that tracks it. Look. He's about ready to climb over the security fence into Morgan County. If you're right, we're all toast.
Oh, my God, you're right. He's halfway up.
Pretty spry for a man of his age.
Uh-oh.
What is it, Leonard?
It could be the end of time.
But isn't that where we are now?
No, I mean, really, the end of time.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the WHB studio. We've temporarily lost contact with the Firehouse Folly Show, but we will continue. Uh-oh, there's a strange sound effect closing on me. The world is... Frequencies coming back on now, so I shall return you to the Firehouse Follies live radio variety show.
What happened?
What happened?
What happened?
You don't know.
Get up, get ready to go back home. Get up, get ready to go back home. Get up, get ready to go back home. Get up, get ready to go back home.
Blues outside my window. I got blues out my back door. I've got one hand stretched to heaven and my feet stuck here on the floor. Yeah, the hard times weigh heavy and I'm only meat and bone. Come rain or shine, I'm moving down that line. Get up, get ready to go back home. 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 Snakes are in my barley. I got rats up in my corn. People try to deal me dirty since that every day I was born.
Well, the hard times weigh heavy and I'm only meat and bone. Come rain or shine, I'm moving down that line.
Get up, get ready to go back home. 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 Family. going home to see my friends, heading home to see my Jesus when this highway finally ends.
Yeah, I hear the voices calling, I don't need no telephone. Gonna heave this sack running across my back. Get up, get ready to go back home. 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 Get up,
I'm getting ready to go home.
Get up, I'm gonna see my family.
Get up, I'm gonna see my friends, yeah.
Get up, I'm gonna see my Jesus.
Get up, we're gonna pray together.
Get up, we're gonna stay together.
Get up, we're gonna have a hallelujah good time.
Get up,
everybody join hands now.
Yeah. Get up, get ready to go back home. Get up, get ready to go back home. Get up, get ready to go back home. Get up, get ready to go back home.
I'm going home in the morning, yeah.
Goodness, what has happened, Mrs. Sleuth? I can sense that there was something profound what went down, as they say, but I cannot remember what it was.
Neither can I, Professor Essengruber, but it was nice of you to invite me out like this.
Toadette, I remember everything, and I no longer feel so simple-minded as I did before the event. How about you?
And I as well, Toadette. We had just decided to spend our lives together.
When the entire city of Bloomington went into a new cycle. So that's what the Book of Monon meant when it said the city would be recycled.
Yes, yes, and the old city and the old us are now in the recycle bin. And the new you and I have emerged. And because we were simple-minded and trusting in the old world, we and only we are now able to remember what has happened.
Who are you two? And for that matter, who am I? I'm having a hard time remembering things just now.
You work for me, you cretin! Don't you remember? And he there works for my toady.
I do?
But I don't.
Thanks, boss. We needed that.
You're welcome.
Well, something happened, but I can't figure out what it was. Anyway, how do you like this club?
Oh, the beginning of time? Interesting concept. I wonder where they came up with the idea. But doesn't that waiter seem familiar to you?
Yes, he does. Excuse me, waiter. What was your name again?
I'm Michael Kelsey.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Do you play guitar by any chance?
Guitar? Me? No, I would never do anything like that. I'm a beloved radio personality here in Bloomington. I'm not a musician, but I have played one on the radio. Speaking of radio, though, the mayor is having a big press conference now, so I'm just going to turn the radio on for that.
Good evening, fellow citizens. This is Hiram Vinegar, the mayor of Bloomington. And I have some announcements for you. First, tomorrow is leaf burning day throughout the city, so get your leaves out front and set them on fire. A person who puts out the most smoke wins a free pack of cigarettes. Urban deer season begins tomorrow. And citizens, you are required to shoot any deer you encounter on site. But as mayor, I will pardon one deer in a ceremony tomorrow. Just one. Now, I'm pleased to announce that working with the members of the city council, I've just put together a plan to build a new facility to make Twinkies, Ding Dongs, and Wonder Bread right here in Bloomington. Twinkies will live. Yeah! And you have the city of Bloomington to thank for it.
At least one good thing has come out of this mess, Toadette. Just think, darling, I have Twinkies and you.
And I've got my ding-dongs, and that's a wonder.
Bring us all a Twinkie, Michael. Something sweet and really fine. Bring us all a Twinkie, Michael. And we'll start again with time.
Colonel Kelsey, I have heard of time warps before, but that skit was more like taste warped.
I think we're going to have to start feeding the writers.
Think?
They get a little weird when they're starving. Let's change the pace a bit.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back the WFHB Gospel Girls.
Yeah, well, I'm wrapped up and I'm tied up. Yeah, now I'm tangled up with Jesus. Well, I say I'm wrapped up. Jesus, yeah, I'm wrapped up in his love. I'm tied up in his blood. I'm tangled up in the spirit. I feel it down in my soul. Oh, I can't do me no harm. Well, now the devil is a liar and a cheater too. He don't mind how he come into you. You better watch out, 'cause he's on your track. If you're not careful, he will turn you back. The reason so many of you turn around, you don't go no more to your praying ground. You better start climbing the ladder rung by rung. Don't let old Satan turn you around. You better wrap up. Get tied up. Get tangled up in the spirit with Jesus. Oh, can't do me no harm.
One.
Gosh, I just think I like all those people out there older than 25. I like the youngsters too, but here's one for all of you, a little Christmas tune we got for you. That one was a breather. A wrinkle here, a hot flash there, bifocals next, I knew gray hair. I'm checking my cholesterol, do Kegel and exercise balls. I meditate, take calcium, I'm getting paps and mammograms. I limit liquor, ban caffeine, take flaxseed for omega-3. 50, my God, I'm 50. Cosmo used to be the rag for me, but now I read AARP. I'm 50, my God, I'm 50. My IRA now suddenly is making much more sense. My head is pounding as I wake. I think I made a big mistake. It seems so harmless at the time. Tequila, salt, lemon, and lime. Chocolate martinis, lots of fun. Stop for a Coke, then added rum. But it's that glass of Chardonnay that put me on my knees to pray. Barfing, I feel like barfing. Where is the Advil? Give it here. On second thought, toss me a beer. I'll go to rehab, vacation rehab. If it's good for Lindsay Lohan, then it's good enough for me. To stop the nagging from my mom, I put an ad on Match.com. I heard from Steve, an engineer. He's 41, let's have a beer. He stumbled in, I thought I'd cry. His hand is climbing up my thigh. He's unemployed, but has big goals, the first of which, don't break parole. Check, please, waiter, the check, please. I know it's early to be leaving, but his ankle bracelet's beeping. There's the convent, maybe the convent. That whole celibacy rule is looking better every day. My kids grew up, they got degrees, a CPA, a PhD. They overspent on student loans, so deep in debt they moved back home. I turned her room into a den, I turned his room into a den. What do? I love my dens. Where do I put these kids again? Basement, give them the basement. It might be dreary, might be damp, but maybe they will get the hint. It's a basement, a stinky basement. I will always be their mommy, but come on, they need to go. What's this I see? Well, hush my mouth. My body parts are moving south. That happy hour the night before is not so happy anymore. 41, try 58. I think he's wanted in 3 states. I like to vacuum in the nude. The way they stare, well, it's just rude. Prozac, I'll take the Prozac. I used to protest it with feeling. Now it's looking quite appealing. Then there's Twinkies, taste good with vodka. Anything's I get my hands on just to get me through the day. Prozac, Zoloft, vodka, yoga, chocolate, vodka, shopping, eating, sleeping, vodka, anything to get me through the day, the whole darn day.
Friends, I'm sure I don't have to tell you that the holiday season is just around the corner, and that means you're gonna have to take to the streets and the malls and push through all them crowds.
Hey, I want that. You can't have it.
Looking for those perfect Christmas presents for your loved ones. And you know they're gonna be out of whatever it was you were looking for anyway.
Sorry, sold the last one yesterday.
Oh, but...
Come back after Christmas. Probably be lots of returns.
But what will I buy my husband?
Well, there you go, and I'm glad you asked. If you're looking for the perfect gift for that special man in your life, you're in the right place. Fiddlin' Joe's special gift pack for guys is all he'll ever need.
Well, what's in it?
Well, Fiddlin' Joe's gift pack for guys has all the essentials. There's Fiddlin' Joe's foundation garments for men.
Oh.
Something he can put his trust in. Additionally, the pack contains a one-year supply of Ugly Away, guaranteed to make him look good enough that he won't embarrass you in public.
Really?
And perhaps, most importantly, there is a one-year supply of Fiddlin' Joe's amazing new product, Vialis, for the revitalization of everything that once made him think he was a man.
Really?
And if that don't excite him, you better check his pulse, because he's probably already dead. And if your pet iguana is acting listless or you have a torpid gecko, give him a dose of Vialis. It cures reptile dysfunction.
Vialis is not available in states with environmental protection laws of any kind. Vialis side effects can include bad breath, flatulence, restless leg syndrome, and occasionally, death. If death should occur while taking Vialis, stop taking it immediately and contact your family physician.
But isn't all of that going to be expensive?
Well, normally it would be. But if you call or order in the next 5 minutes, you can have it all for not $200.
Oh.
No, not $100. Not even $50. That's right. Call immediately, for the whole gift pack is yours for a low, low, low $12.97.
Oh, I'll buy one right away.
That's Fiddlin' Joe's gift pack for guys, available at Fiddlin' Joe's virtual kiosk at shopping malls everywhere. Special discounts are available on virtual Wednesdays.
Oh, thank you, Fiddlin' Joe, for solving all my Christmas needs.
Please don't forget our sponsors. And now it's my great pleasure to welcome back to the stage the man with the black belt from the Miyagi School of Martial Arts and Guitar, the man with the golden name, Mr. Michael Kelsey.
Bus driver, carry me home. Bus driver, carry me home. I was out for a drive the other day. I passed by my old junior high school. I could have sworn I heard the old class bell ringing, although I couldn't tell which one. See, I distinctly remember two sounds of that old class bell. That first was that ordinary, everyday functional ring that you expected. I mean, it separated the classes, it moved us through the day. But then there was that last ring, so beautiful and vibrant, that was freedom going ring-a-ling-a-ling out the door into the sunshine, where the buses all waiting in a big yellow line. Ah, step on up, 1, 2, 3. Maybe a quick hello to the bus driver lady, then on to the back. Oh, the underappreciated bus driver lady. I realize now that I took her for granted then. I mean, I wasn't the one watching the road, the speed, the railroad crossing. She was. I got to look around, and that I did. I sure did. First stop, there's a cornfield. That's where the quiet girl stepped off and began walking down a long dirt driveway that just seemed to disappear into the corn. I assumed there was a house out there somewhere. She never said. She was quiet. Bus driver, carry me home. Push on the gas, steer that wheel, wave bye-bye to the girl who lives in a cornfield. Oh yeah, the next thing I remember was a large radio tower out in the middle of nowhere. I look around, it's tree, rock, rock, bush, rock, tower. I assumed it had some purpose because it had a flashing light on top. I always stared at that white flashing light, mesmerized like it was gonna do something. I did not want to miss it. So I always stretched my neck, strained my eyes to the last possible second. Something could happen, something. Nothing ever did. Bus driver, carry me home. Take me over there and away from here. Put the radio tower in your rearview mirror. Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, then came the S-curve. You didn't really see it coming. You just felt it when it arrived. You know, like, drive to your left, pass and you go right. Pause in the middle and reverse, oh, like some strange synchronized dance that we did every day. I didn't really care for that part for some reason. Like it was a hassle, just a useless waste of energy. Unless I had a motive. Like if I were sitting next to Karen McFadden. Bus driver, carry me home. Round and round so gracefully, bringing us all together with your gravity. Yeah, yeah. And we were singing out. Give it. Oh, so see, it's me, Karen, the gravity, putting the radio tower in the river mirrors, way by the girl living in the cornfield, and finally, home. You know, all these years later, I found myself taking that same route every once in a while. Except now I take the S-curves fast and I like it. I still stare at the white flashing light. It's been over 25 years now. Nothing's happening, it's just a flashing light. I'm a little more at peace now. When I get up to Cornfield Girls Drive, I find myself slowing down for some reason. And I'm not sure why. It's like I'm waiting on something. I mean, what's that all about? I mean, I know she's been gone, but I guess part of me wants to believe she's still out there somewhere, maybe out for a walk, maybe checking her mail. She'll say hi. I mean, I'll say hi. She's quiet. We start talking about old times. We might really hit it off. She'd open up, tell me things about corn I never knew or cared about. Like, did you know the average year of corn has 800 kernels and 16 rows? I could bring my guitar, and we'd play on through the afternoon to a singing songs to the moon. Life would be simple, life would be good. We'd get simple jobs, just part-time jobs. We wouldn't need much money, we'd live in a cornfield. I could be a songwriter, she could be a bus driver. Yeah, she could take the kids around the S-curve show. Then the flashy night when they drove by the cornfield, the kids would point and say, I hear there's a weird old man who lives out there and every night he sings to the moon. Life's got a strange way of making circles. I have a few suggestions. Take the S-curves fast. And whenever bright shiny lights can bewilder you, revel in those moments. And when you meet your cornfield people, I suggest having a cup of tea. You might just find we aren't so different after all. You know, when I stop fixating on getting home and just enjoy the curves, the lights, and the people, I always seem to arrive home just fine. I don't have the answers to the meaning of life, but something about this universe feels like a bus in motion. So I sing praises to the driver because I get to look around. I sing in adoration. It doesn't matter if there's someone out there listening or not. I sing for me because it reminds me that I don't ever want to take this life for granted. So sometime around midnight, you might hear a song come bouncing off the moon, wake you up, get your attention. Kind of like my old class bell. At first, listen, might sound like the ordinary, everyday wind rushing through the trees. The corn stalks, but the last listen might sound more like
thank you.
There's a little man in that guitar that does all that. Now, to my right, and to the and to the left of most of you, here's a woman voted recently by readers of Mad Magazine as the second favorite storyteller in Bloomington, Arbutus Cunningham.
Doesn't that just bring a tear to your eye? Mm-hmm. Y'all gotta lower your expectations a little bit now. According to, is this microphone on? According to Newtonian physics, time is a dimension in which events can be ordered into the past, through the present, and then we get to the future. No, it's not. It is half of a dimensional pair, space-time. Think of it as an odd wobbly fruit with rough skin on the outside and a bunch of seeds in the middle. You can take a bite at a time, but the seeds will always get stuck in the space between your canines. Some people remedy this with dental floss, which is a dimension onto itself entire, being both line and fiber, akin to fiber optics, but different in several important dimensions. A long time ago, this equals the length measured in dental floss between the planets Jupiter and Uranus, multiplied by the lost coefficient inherent in Zeno's paradox, not to be confused with Beano's paradox, which is basically a load of marsh gas. Anyway, back way back yonder, the multiverse, y'all be taking notes now, the multiverse was an undifferentiated, rapidly expanding cloud of marsh gas, see Beano's paradox above. Stuff was not nailed down yet. And so, it appears that space and time met in a bar. The multiverse figured out alternative realities very quickly after the Big Bang, or as some quantum physicists now call it, the Big Bong. Space was high and time was frankly wasted. They moved in together without benefit of clergy, air traffic control, birth control, or heavy lifting. These things can happen in the best of families. Space was still expanding too. This was back before the joint got all chopped up by developers and sold to big box stores and apartment complexes, altering the putatively natural predator-prey relationship, which goes some way toward explaining why our little short governor is gonna be the president of Purdue University next year. That's one. why we must constantly cope with odd incursions like morons from outer space in the legislature, deer in suburbia, and the emerald ash borer, a bug that sounds like the postmodern equivalent of X-lax but really isn't. Never mind all that anyway. Space, a real expansive kind of guy back then. Ooh, good dancer, great charm, swept time off her stool. She, poor girl, first multiplied and then divided. Heavy breeders, the pair of them. Directly she squeezed out a whole mess of babies. Small time, big time, crunch time, now a fitness instructor at the Y. Quick time, slow time, who works as a traffic engineer, this will not surprise you, in the city of Bloomington. We've experienced his temporal and spatial genius over the summer when we could not get from East 3rd to Vernal Pike between the hours of 9 and 5, Monday through Friday, without going through Ulytic or possibly Dolan. My Lord, save us. Ha! And all of this, he done it for the sake of progress, that fickle, faithless heifer who always promises a good time for everybody, but we'll only sleep with the 1%. Don't forget that. The rest of us get hard time, not to mention the time when objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. So the relationship between space and time was fraught from the very first waltz. Eventually, they had to get professional help. Albert Einstein, famous mathematician and therapist to the stars, gave them his equation E equals MC squared, indicating that the amount of energy available for fixing the leak in the roof is equal to what you ate for breakfast. Muffins times coffee squared. Never forget, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Where were we? When are we? Who locked that damn cat in the box? What is the point? There is no point, neighbors. What we got going on here is your basic, steadily expanding, multidirectional, multidimensional, 17 and counting, multiverse where mass is equal to the number of priests who can dance in the witness box, the amount of horse manure spread about during an election cycle, as well as the space in our skulls available for suspending disbelief over the abyss created by a collision between space, time, the heartbreak of halitosis, and what we thought was true last week. When we are is now. Welcome to the Monkey House, neighbors.
Doctor Who's next companion, Arbutus Cunningham. Hey, let's get the Firehouse Rounders to take us out of here with a classic.
Thank you. One of them was named Sam. I tell him to play it again.
Well, Richard, time didn't end, but we've run out.
Yes, we have. Okay, fellas, do it to it. Well, that's about it for today's show, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, he may be from Lafayette, but he doesn't play basketball, so let's have a big Bloomington hand for that incredible singer, songwriter, and guitarist, Mr. Michael Kelsey. Thank Kathy Norton, Ginger Curry, and Suzette Weekly, the Gospel Girl. And our Firehouse Rounders with Richard Torstrick on the fiddle. Dan Lodge-Riegel on keyboard. Jason Bickle on guitar. Ron Kadish on bass. And Dan Decker on the drum. Arbutus Cunningham appeared courtesy of Arbutus Cunningham Industries. And sound effects were provided by Bloomington's award-winning sound effects dude, Mr. Tony Brewer. The Unusual Suspects Radio Acting Company was made up today by Mark Scrapper Blackwell, Betty Greenwell, Mike Leonard, Brandy Roberts, Brian Roberts, and Becky Stamm. With a special non-appearing appearance by Mr. Caleb Winningham. House sound was provided by Stuart Norton and radio sound by Jeffrey Sundog Morris. And our technical crew was made up of Marion Canati and Ian Winningham, with Caleb Winningham serving as studio engineer. Today's show was written by Mr. Stuffinupagus and all the residents of Occupy Sesame Street. Our stage manager was Dan G-Man Selvaggi. Yeah! The show was produced by Mike Kelsey, the radio hologram residing in Bloomington. Our theme song is The Firehouse Blues, written by Mr. Jason Fickle. And for WFHB, I'm your announcer and director, Richard Fish, reminding you that if the world doesn't end, save the date of March 3rd for the next Firehouse Follies. Good night, everybody!